Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, March 6, 2014. And tonight's main science topic, I'm releasing a new ebook. It's a short one, but a very important one. I'll announce the title right now. I actually announced it yesterday on the John Moore Show. But the topic is Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. So anyway, I will be going into some details on this new book. It's a supplement to the Calculate Primes book. And it's somewhat the result of a number of factors. A week ago, the NSA, our good buddies, the snoopers, federally paid snoopers out there, who look into everything you do and everybody else around the world, had a meeting, and it appears that they have now taken control, whether through financial entities or otherwise, they have taken control of the company called RSA. Now, RSA is a term for the use of prime numbers for encryption. And when my Calculate Primes book came out, many years ago, probably 6 years ago now, it was immediately recognized that it broke the RSA encryption codes because you could easily calculate prime numbers out to very large quantities. Now, this may get a little bit esoteric for some people, but it's very important because there were large protests at this meeting. A lot of people are pretty tired of the NSA snooping into everything they do. Okay, so at any rate, the part of the this particular conference was centered around the RSA company and its encryption codes using prime numbers. And basically the way this works, just I'll give a quick summary. You have a very, very large number, and I'm sure you've heard the terms 128-bit encryption, 256-bit encryption. This is the translated number. In other words, there are various forms of this. There are polynomials, so to speak, that are used to rebuild data, and this is all somewhat complicated if you're not familiar with it, but the core of the encryption part, you take a very large number, typically with a set number of digits, and it could be 128 bits, so that's zeros and ones, and so translated, that turns out to be a relatively large digital number in the base 10. The number system that we're all used to using from childhood, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 is a number 1, 0, and you start all over again, 11, 12, 13, up to 19, and then you go 2, 0, which is 20, etc., and you know, it's a counting system. But at any rate, it's a very bad number system, something I discovered in understanding the prime numbers, and that is available in my book Calculate Primes, somewhat giving a new understanding of numbers themselves, which allows you to understand prime numbers in a much handier, much more eloquent fashion. So at any rate, now let's go back to RSA encryption. You take a great big number, and it has only two factors. Let's take another number that only has two factors. The number 10 is a good example. It has the numbers 5 and 2 as factors. It only has two prime numbers as factors. And there's a fundamental theorem of arithmetic which says that any number has a unique set of factors. Now, prime numbers are numbers which only have themselves and one as factors, and that is actually literally the definition of a prime number. And my work also, the Calculate Primes book and my work, which is based on a mathematical paper, which actually came out earlier than the book. I redefined prime numbers. I have a new definition for prime numbers, and I have a new definition for numbers that are not prime. I have a new method of factorization, of factoring numbers, and this is somewhat the key to the problem, that RSA codes, you take that great big number that only has two factors, two very large prime numbers, and here has always been the crux of the basis of the use of prime numbers in encryption, that prime numbers are supposedly unique, prime numbers are not calculable, not able to be calculated by the average person on the street or even anybody with a large computing system. And also there's a requirement that you have to calculate it very fast. So encryption, the idea is that you take this extremely large number and it only has two factors, and the typical brute force method of calculating the factors is that you start by dividing by 2, then by 3, then by 5, then by 7, then by 11. You divide it by all the prime numbers up to about the square root of that big number, and somewhere in that list of numbers, you would find a factor, another factor, but you have a little problem because, just to make it brief, it takes a tremendous amount of computing time to find that factor. And what they do is they put the two prime factors at about the same size, which maximizes the amount of time you have to do digital searching to find those factors. Okay, so come along my work on prime numbers. It basically overnight destroyed the use of prime numbers and for encryption, because what you could do with my formula that calculates prime numbers not one at a time but in groups, you can calculate within a very short amount of time all the prime numbers out to a very, very large number. And you can keep these, and in fact, you don't even have to make large tables of numbers because they come in patterns. And so you have very simple equations that actually generate the prime numbers out to a designated number, up to huge, huge numbers. And you can do this very quickly. Let me take a little side note here. On a blog page where, of course, the government has little government shill trolls out there to try and badmouth me and badmouth my work, one of the little no-name clowns said on there, well, if James McCanney broke encryption codes, why doesn't he show us how to do it? And so I thought, you know, doggone, that's a good idea. So that's what I'm doing. I'm releasing the information, and by the way, I have given this technique for breaking RSA encryption codes, I have given it on past radio shows. And anybody that is familiar with encryption codes, with the RSA encoding mechanism for encryption, anybody that's familiar with that could easily take what I gave on past radio shows and formulate it and use a computer to break the RSA encryption codes. And by the way, the encryption codes are everywhere in military computing, in banking computing. If you do credit card transactions online, they are included there. But here's the thing, that say you're making an internet transaction with your credit card. Okay, you're one of millions of transactions that are going on every minute out there. And there's really no need for somebody to break into you or your transaction because you're small potatoes. You might have somebody like Target, or other large databases where it might become fun and profitable to break into these. Now, you might be saying to yourself, why is James McKinney giving out information to break military-level encryption codes, etc.? Well, actually, I'm doing you a great favor, and I'm doing everybody in the world a great favor. I'm giving out information that could be used by people with not so good intentions. And so the point is that it's important for the people in government and places of high level security to understand this. And now I have feedback from many sources. After my book Calculate Primes came out, but the word that came back from the high levels of security, and this came directly back to me, was that they had teams of people searching for all of the places where the RSA encryption codes had been placed in software, in high-level military, in banking, and other places, and trying to fix them. In fact, I knew people that had brothers and sisters or daughters that worked for the Navy, for the Air Force, for the other branches of the military, and it provided them with a good deal of work for actually many years, and it's still going on. It was interesting to see the head of Homeland Security out a number of years ago. He got up on the podium and he said, all of our secure computing is unknown. We don't even know how much damage has been done. And what he was referring to was the fact that now the RSA encryption codes, which were entrusted, the basic concept was this problem of mathematics that I solved was never even imagined in the wildest dreams of any mathematician or physicist that anyone would solve this problem. It's the oldest problem in mathematics. It goes back to the ancient Greeks, trying to understand the order and rhythm of the prime numbers. And in my book, Calculate Primes, in the DVD, at the very beginning, I read quotes of mathematicians who worked on this problem before I solved it. And it was like one of them said, the prime numbers look more like a set of random lottery numbers than anything understandable, that there's no order. If you look in any source on prime numbers, and the prime number people and the mathematicians are still in great denial over this, they would tell you that the prime numbers have no known patterns. Well, it's baloney. For now, over 6 years now, the pattern has been understood, and you yourself can understand this with my book, Calculate Primes. I have kids in grade school who have used this to understand mathematics, much better understanding of mathematics. And so, at any rate, there was a tremendous amount of work that went into breaking the RSA encryption codes. And so, as a result of the SHRD, the shill, the government paid shill, loudmouth, no name loudmouth, by the way, these people are all nameless when they appear on blogs, making a stupid comment, it inspired me to publish this book, which is relatively short. It's called Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. Now, everybody can do this, and it takes very little time, very, very little time. In fact, you can actually do it with tables, and in the book I show you how to do it with tables of prime numbers that are generated from the equation, and it's a very simple process. I won't describe it anymore on this show, but you can see it in the book. But what I'm talking about now is somewhat the history of this. Just also a little bit about my background, which I describe in the Calculate Primes book in the front. Half of my career I spent in the telecommunications industry. For 10 years, I worked as a principal systems engineer building, designing, and monitoring the design of both hardware and software of some of the world's most complicated telecommunications computers. These were IBM-compatible front-end processors. That's what the term is, front-end processors. These were, in the old IBM mainframe days, these were the front-end processors that offloaded the telecommunications function from the big IBM mainframes because they were busy doing other things and you didn't want to use your hugely expensive IBM mainframe for doing communications. And the communications changed constantly. It was a very complex branch, probably the most complex branch of computing. And I was in the core of the main company that competed with IBM on these, and we sold them worldwide. We had our staff in the offices of Shell Oil and the large banks, the oil companies, the stock market companies, all of the telecommunications that was done in the major league days of IBM mainframe computing. We had facilities in, we had equipment in those facilities. The way we competed is we were able to take IBM front-end processors, which IBM built, and build additional functionality into the computers that we built. For example, when a major computer facility, IBM would come along and say, we're not supporting that anymore. We're not supporting your terminals. You have to upgrade all your computer terminals to a new IBM upgrade and basically throw out all your old equipment. What we did is we came along and we made those old terminals look like the new ones. And so now the keyboard, the terminal that you were sitting at, had all the functionality and ability of the new high-fangled IBM release, but you didn't have to buy anything. You just had to buy our software upgraded in your front-end processor. That's an example of what we did. But on the trunking side of this, we'd had built our own modems. We built our own telecommunications. Within the hardware, we had our own encryption codes. And as this information was transmitted worldwide from one computing center to the other, everything was encrypted. So you're talking to here one of the top world experts in the branch of telecommunications encryption. That's what I did. And I was an expert, and I was the top person in the company. Everything flowed through me, whether it was hardware or software. It had to cross my desk for approval before it ever became a product. And so that's what I did. Now, many people know me for my work on the electric nature of the universe, comets, etc. But also, let me talk a little bit about my teaching career at the university level. I taught mathematical analysis. I've taught literally every computer course and mathematics course in the university level. And many of these courses were done in a foreign language in a foreign country. And so my career is pretty extensive. And the one thing I know about is computing systems. The one thing I know about is encryption. And so when I worked and struggled and fought and went through mental contortions to understand and resolve the prime number problem, I knew what I was looking for. I knew exactly what I was looking for, and I knew that it was the top mathematical problem in the world. Literally, there are many offshoots of this. There's things called the Goldbach conjecture, the twin prime conjecture. These are all subsets of what I did to give patterns to the prime numbers. There's probably a dozen unresolved problems in mathematics right now that are basically considered high-level unsolved mathematical problems dealing with prime numbers, but none of them could be possible without the work I did on organizing and understanding the patterns of prime numbers. Okay, so many of you at this point are going, oh my goodness, I'm losing this, I'm out of touch with what he's talking about. So anyway, I'll bring this back down to earth a little bit so that everybody understands what's going on here. Okay, so let's go back to the NSA and the RSA meeting that happened about a week ago. They are still using RSA coding encryption for secure computing. And this is, so let me tell you how this works. The chips that they put into your debit card, the chips that they put into your computer, your television, your toaster, your dog, all of the chips that are being put into secure places to monitor you have been using RSA codes, encryption codes, to encrypt the information to send it back to the NSA so that only they can see your information. They're even worried about people snooping on them. What a concept. But now you can snoop on the NSA, and that's the whole purpose of this book. Okay? Now, as I said, the name of this book is called, and it's not very long, it's called Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. Now, how can you profit from this? Well, if anybody out there in business is stupid enough to use RSA codes, and by the way, this is a direct assault on the RSA Corporation, who should not be in existence anymore. The NSA has adopted them like a big brother, so to speak, and is still using these encoding mechanisms for encryption. So with this, and also due to the honorable mention in a blog by one of their lackeys out there, no-name lackeys on a blog, we call them trolls, internet trolls, whose job it is to sit there on a blog, and when my name pops up, they have to slam it. This yo-yo blurts out and says, well, if James McKinney broke the code for prime numbers, why doesn't he publish the method of breaking encryption codes, RSA encryption codes? And so I thought, doggone, that's a great idea. And so I'm doing it. And that's what I'm doing. I'm putting this out there for everybody to see. And a lot of people might just buy this book and read it, and just for the background, it has a tremendous amount of background. It's not just about breaking the codes. It's a history of the NSA. It talks about Snowden. It talks about snooping. It talks about encryption codes. It talks about my history as a professional understanding this industry and why it's important for me to put this information out for the public to easily access. If you are serious about understanding prime numbers, then, of course, many people out there already have my prime number book, Calculate Primes, but if not, you would buy both of these, and there is the new book, Breaking RSA Encryption Codes for Fun and Profit, is a supplement. It's kind of like a supplement to the Calculate Primes book. So at any rate, let me go through a couple of the topics that I'll be covering in the book. I'll be doing a review of the book Calculate Primes, which really is a must-read also, and it's all of this is meant for the general public. And remember that the Calculate Primes book comes with a three-hour DVD lecture, which when the Calculate Primes book first came out over 6 years ago, I first did a field test of it to a number of people who weren't really attuned to prime numbers but were well-trained engineers, understood computing, etc. And the feedback I got, these were from trained professionals, the feedback I got was that this was a fairly complex topic, and the book really would be difficult for the average person to follow. So I created the 3-hour DVD lecture that's right in the front cover of the book, and that goes along with the book. It's sold with the book. And that's for the general public. It's kind of a talk you through it all, and when you get done, you will look at a prime number table, the table of all of the prime numbers, and you will understand why those numbers are there and why other numbers are not there. You'll understand that the prime numbers really comprise a system of numbers all of their own. They are a closed system. And so this is using just the numbers 0 and 1 and addition and subtraction, you generate the prime numbers in groups. And so the long-standing 2,500-year-old problem of resolving the patterns of the prime numbers was finally resolved. And so anyway, I'll talk a little bit about that in the RSA, Breaking RSA Codes book. Then I talk about my history in telecommunications, about the prime numbers and their use in RSA codes, the history of search for patterns in the prime numbers, the denial of the mathematical world when my work came out, because a guy named Terry Tao, who is considered fairly high in the mathematical world, I believe he's at Caltech or UC, I think, in California. Anyway, he's very high in the mathematical world. He had just won the Field Prize, which is given to young aspiring mathematicians for creative work in mathematics. It's given every 4 years. He and a guy named Ben Green had just won the Field Prize for work which allegedly showed that the prime numbers were random, that there was no prime number pattern, and that there never could be found a number of patterns in the prime numbers. Just as they were being awarded that award, my book hit the streets and showed in terms that even a third grader could understand that the prime numbers very much have patterns, extremely complex and some very simple patterns. And that's described in my book. And as I said, the book has sold all over the world. I want to give a little story here. When the book was released, the Calculate Primes book was released, I did it on Coast to Coast AM, as I had done with all of my book releases up to that point. I had a special night set aside where I was the main host with George Norrie as host on Coast to Coast AM, and this was a rather complex and dangerous release, because clearly I was releasing information that if it were known beforehand, I probably would not have lived very long, possibly, because of the damage this would do to the RSA encryption codes, reverberating all the way up through the military, into hardware and satellites, places where this was put. In fact, nobody even knows where all of the locations, because of the compartmentalization in computing software, the way it's designed and built, and hardware, because of the compartmentalization so that nobody knows the whole picture, no one knows all of the places where the RSA codes are embedded. And so only a good hacker would find them as he works his way through these secure computing systems. And so at any rate, I released the book Calculate Primes on the Coast to Coast AM show, and I had pre-sold it without a title. So it had sold for many weeks prior, and I'm probably one of the only people on the planet that can pre-sell a book and have it sell quite widely all over the world. And so the book had gone through two printings and was distributed all over the world before anybody knew the title. And so these books were reaching the buyers on the same day, basically, as the book release on Coast to Coast. Other than that, the only guy on the planet, the only person on the planet that knew the contents of that book was George Norrie. He received a personal copy that morning, hand-delivered to him, and I was on my way to a Pacific island, far out in, let's say this, I could see Japan from where I was, the mainland of Japan, and that's where I chose to do that show live on that evening. And so it was, I remember it was a Monday evening. And the end result was the morning after that show, I got calls. In fact, one of the listeners, one of the call-in listeners of that show towards the end of the show called in and asked the question, does this break the RSA encryption codes? Obviously, someone knew what I had done. And so they called in to the show and asked that question, and I said the simple answer is yes. This affects, not only affects, but it breaks the RSA encryption codes. And so the next morning, I was flooded with calls from engineers from TRW and from other companies that built satellites, military satellites. The engineers who are the top engineers on the encryption software and hardware that were built into military satellites. These people were calling me, asking me for a copy of the book, which I graciously sent to them for free. All of the people in the military, in the Navy, and so the book was distributed quite rapidly, let's say, amongst the military, primarily the military. I got a call from an attorney from Atlanta who represented corporations that insured RSA code encryption and computing. And he was very angry that somehow he was not notified. well, dude, no, you were not notified, amongst many other people that were not notified beforehand, because I did not want to release this to a bunch of money-grabbing RSA-representing attorneys. No, thank you very much. So at any rate, that's what happened immediately after that show when the Calculate Primes book was released on the Coast to Coast AM show. And so thereafter, I had feedback that came back from me to me from people that their brothers, their sisters, their daughters, and information came back directly to me about the tremendous amount of work that had to go into, first of all, locating all of the RSA codes in hardware and software that were in all of the military hardware, software. You know, just can imagine that they were assuming that the prime numbers would never have patterns or be calculable. In other words, that someone could readily calculate prime numbers. And so the head of Homeland Security got up on a podium, probably about a year later, and he simply made the announcement. He said, all of our secure computing is broken. We don't even know how bad it is, and we have no way to fix it. So at any rate, that was the end result, and the only way I could release that information was exactly the way I did. Pre-sell it, sell it all over the world, have it pre-shipped, and so that these books were all over the place, completely released and unknown by the NSA, by the RSA Corporation, by the teams of attorneys that represented RSA, and on and on. So anyway, that's a little bit of history. And so now we are many years down the line, and as I said, I've given radio shows on this show and other shows. I did a special with Brad Walton, which is available on my webpage, where I talk about the prime number book and the release and everything else that goes along with it. It affects many other things. For example, the creation of snowflakes. Snowflakes are seven element items. It has a seed, a central seed, so to speak, which is a piece of powder or dust, and then it grows in six directions symmetrically. So the 6 + 1 = 7, and that's a prime number, and it's one of the key examples in nature of how prime numbers are built in nature. That's all described in the book. Also, the generator function and its use can be used in building DNA, chemical DNA, and the nucleotides that are the building blocks of DNA all can be structured with a similar type of mathematical generator function. So this has many other applications. But back to the NSA-RSA meeting that occurred last week. The point is that it's important for people out there to have the ability to break in and monitor the NSA. That's as simple as it gets. They're monitoring you. Now you can monitor them. And so the title of the book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. Now, for people who want to break into, let's say, purchasing systems, etc., let me say this. First of all, the NSA has the ability to break in and monitor everything that's going on. And that's why they're using the RSA codes, is because they're embedded in everything out there, from the chip in your dog, to the chip in your toothpaste tube, to the chip in your hand drill, to the chip in your TV. Okay, so at any rate, I have a bunch of other topics I want to cover on the show tonight. But just remember, on my webpage, the new book, it will be sold individually. Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. And, of course, it will be included in the e-book set that goes out. I have all of my books in print form and in e-book form in sets in libraries. You can buy them alone or with the CDC set, the CDs and DVD sets, or just buy the e-books apart. But this new book will be included in that list, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. And as far as, say, you're purchasing with a credit card online, etc., your individual purchasing, etc., is very, very unlikely to have anybody messing around with it, in terms of messing around with you or your information, etc. And this is why, because when you log on to a secure web ordering page, you get and it's on that it has HTTPS secure. At that point, you are given a part of the security code, and that is used for your transaction. And so the possibility of somebody tapping into your transaction is very small. The bigger problem, of course, is that not only with RSA codes but other types of firewalls, people have been breaking into big systems like Target. And before Christmas, remember Target? I always thought, and this is my own opinion, that it was Walmart that did it. To wipe out their competition. Gee, would somebody like Walmart do that? That's just my opinion. It doesn't matter at all. But at any rate, the biggest problem that people have with using credit cards or whatever is if you go into Target or if you go into a store. Walmart has card readers in their store that can read your credit card as you walk up and down the aisles. So I wouldn't shop in Walmart myself at all, because there's a way to overcome that, though. Take your credit cards and wrap them in tin foil and put them in your pocket or purse, and then they are immune to that reading of your credit cards, etc., or any other kind of data card that you have in your purse or in your wallet or in your pocket. And so that's just a little tip. If you do happen to go into Walmart, pay with cash and keep your credit cards either someplace else or put them in tin foil, and that'll make them immune to any such reading. But the point is, regarding this book that I'm putting out, a very, very small chance that it would affect anybody online or anybody messing with your data. First of all, they would have to be in your data stream. Second of all, they would have to act extremely fast in the amount of time it took you to make your purchase. So the individual is not the kind of person that's going to be devastated by the book release that I'm putting out, because there's just too many factors that it's not practical for someone to try and break into your particular data stream. There's not enough fun and profit there. But if somebody working on a big system like Target or like some major, who knows, any of the big databases. And by the way, for example, nobody, no entity, and this is really the fault of Target. They should never, ever have kept the data of individuals on file. And they were doing this, I imagine, so that they could use this data for marketing purposes. But in the end, compromised the personal data and information of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people with their credit cards. Well, how stupid. When you go to my page, for example, to make an order with a credit card, I don't keep that information. It's not kept. It's kept within Visa itself. That's the only place that information is kept, and it's processed there. I never see it. I never hold that data, and I never would want to, and I never would. And that's the way it's supposed to be done. That's the way credit card purchasing should be done. But Target, in their infinite stupidity, for some reason, was keeping a data bank on customers and their credit cards and data. Well, they should be taken out and whipped for that. I mean, that's just plain stupid. You don't keep databases of customer data. That's just, that's just asking for it. And to think that your encryption and firewall is going to save you is absolutely absurd. So, I mean, the real guilt there should be, I mean, literally almost criminal negligence on the part of all of those stores that have given up data, customer data, because they kept it somehow. If you go to my webpage and you order, once you make that click, you touch that order button, you're no longer on my page, you're in a secure Visa processing center. And then you come back to my page, and then when you close out your shopping cart, once again, you're in dealing with Visa and closing out your purchase with them. I don't see that, I don't touch it, and then later that is processed to my particular account. And that's the way that system is set up to work. That's the way it's supposed to work, so that the retailer never should see that information, never should have it for even a split second. So at any rate, I just want to tell you about that. A lot of people have fear of purchasing on the internet with credit cards. You have to know who you're dealing with. When you're dealing with me, my system is every month past certification standards for secure purchases. It's like I say, it has absolutely nothing to do with my webpage. The order is processed separately, and then I'm sent the information about your order. But as far as knowing your credit card number or your data, I don't see that at all. And it's not something I want to see. I have enough information so I can fulfill your order, and that's the way it's supposed to be done, if you understand what I'm saying. So so as far as purchasing, I would not be real worried about the fact that RSA codes can be broken in terms of purchasing. I would be more worried that our military systems are broken and they never have been able to fix them. Imagine a piece of military hardware that's been around for 8-10 years, let's say, and in the hardware are encryption codes. That encryption hardware still has embedded in there someplace, excuse me, and the designers did not even know where it is. to go in there and fix it or to put a front-end encryption package on there. They don't even know where that is. So at any rate, then people might say, well, how can you release this information? Well, it's very important that the public knew about this, because if this information, if I had only released it to the military, if I had only released it to the RSA Corporation, they would have hidden the fact that this had been broken. They would have probably killed me and anybody else that was able to distribute this information to you, the public. So it's very important. Now we are full circle. The NSA is using RSA encryption codes to snoop. That's the back door that they can get into your computer, into your TV. Now you have the ability to snoop on them. Now that's the beauty of me releasing this information. People that know what they're doing, people that are familiar with secure computing, can snoop on the NSA. End of story. Okay, I'm going to cover some other stories here very shortly. But by the way, that book is now available on my webpage called Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. So if you already have the Calculate Primes book, just buy this one. If you do not have the Calculate Primes book, I would advise you to buy both, the Calculate Primes book and the new ebook. And remember, the Calculate Primes book will be sent to you. The Calculate Primes book is only available in hardcover, and the Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit is only available in ebook format. So you will get right away the Breaking RSA Codes, and then if you order also the Calculate Primes book, that will be sent to you in hardcover with the DVD. That is not available in ebook form because of the typesetting, because of the complex nature of the type in that book, plus the DVD literally cannot be sent as an ebook. So that's the one book that is not available in ebook format. And of course, all my books are available in print format, except Water, Comets, and the new release, Breaking RSA Codes. But if you order the print set of books, you will get these other ebooks along with your print set. You will be mailed the ebook set. So at any rate, okay, just another quick comment on water. I saw a disturbing article yesterday on the internet. 10 cities in the United States, their water is so polluted with chemicals that it is considered dangerous to drink. Now, remind you that your average under-sink water filter is not going to take out the majority of these chemicals. They have to be taken out in a low-pressure system, in a system that actually, now, there's kind of a misnomer that you can filter out chemicals, like, say, benzene or chemicals like that. It's not really a filter, it's a powder that chemically reacts with them and grabs them and takes them out of the water stream. And so at any rate, my new filters, I call them the GFs, but they're the ones with internal fluoride, arsenic filtration, also take out a vast majority of the chemicals that are in water. Like cities like Jacksonville, Florida, Pensacola, Florida, Las Vegas, there's a city in California near LA with water that is extremely laden with chemicals, but I don't have the entire list with me here. But it's safe to say that all tap water in the United States today has pollutants that you don't want to be drinking on a continual basis, because they are cumulative. They build up, so you drink water. I'm amazed at athletes that they buy, you know, a $3,000 bicycle or tennis racket that's very expensive, or other sporting equipment, fishermen, who knows, who would be in the sporting category. And then they take water from their tap in a plastic bottle and they drink it. on a continual basis. So they're pouring through this body, their God-given body, chemically laden water, and it's the most important, most abundant element in your body, and you're poisoning yourself by drinking tap water. So something for your health. Make sure, I call it water independence. Make sure you are your own source of water. In fact, the stainless steel water bottles that I sell are very high-end. You can also use aluminum, the very cheap ones you get at the store. But water filters with the pre-filter that I sell on my webpage, very important. And along with the radiation that is melting now out of the snow all across the United States, the United States has a radiation problem from Fukushima, which is also a cumulative problem. Just a quick update on emails from listeners. Here is a listener from an email. I'll just read it. It says, "Dear Jim, I loved when I first heard you explain NASA as fairy tale science. It helped me understand that they were not to be trusted source of science. I was unaware of this before I heard it from you. Now I avoid everything NASA related. You are my trusted science source. With all of the recent lies from our government regarding Ukraine and Syria, it made me think of a perfect comeback when they called a conspiracy theorist, and that would be our fairy tale government. Thanks for giving me the idea." So anyway, just from a listener. Another email from a listener. There was a bison that was unearthed. They found this bison, a 9,000-year-old bison in Siberia in Russia, that had been grazing there when it suddenly died. Perfect condition. This is a 9,000-year-old animal in perfect condition, and they are now studying it to understand the fauna and the etc. But this is one of the great mysteries, and of course brought up by Velikovsky when he noted that the Siberian bison and woolly mammoths were trapped and died with tropical plants, semi-tropical plants, in their throats undigested. Now, the lifetime of a tropical plant in the throat of a woolly mammoth would have been a couple minutes until the digestive juices began to disintegrate those plants. So that means these animals died and were flash frozen in a matter of seconds. And so that's one of the great mysteries of modern science. And of course, that was due to a pole shift that occurred when the planet in process, the comet Venus, came by. And of course, we know that the Venus comet came by twice, came by the planet Earth twice, and that there was a pole shift. We know this from the Maya. So at any rate, just a little record going back in history there. Last week I talked about Laetrile, and I got some listener comments. And one comment said that, well, Laetrile doesn't do anything because the stomach juices in your stomach break it down, and it loses its effectiveness. Very little of it that is absorbed in your body. But when I was talking to the gentleman that told me about his experience with Laetrile in Mexico, the answer is that you have to suck on these seeds. And by the way, the name of the tree and plant is albaricoque, and that's not pronounced right. It's kind of the English pronunciation. It's albaricoque. You can look that up on the internet. And that is the prune or the plum or the peach variety. It's could be any of those, but it's of that family with the big seed in the middle. But these are very small seeds, and you crack open the hard casing, and in there inside is a small almond looking seed, and you put it under your tongue, and so you don't chew it up and put it in your stomach. And this is well known in the New Hope Clinic in Mexico, where they use this as a primary the primary method of curing cancer, all different types of cancer, using Laetril or what is falsely called vitamin B17. But the point is that you take the seed, you put it under your tongue, and in about 45 minutes it dissolves, and it's the saliva in your mouth that actually breaks it down and does not destroy the B17 complex that then goes into your bloodstream through your mouth. You do not chew it or ingest it into your stomach. And so that's a very important point. And I also wanted to update that there's a cleansing mechanism that goes along with the use of Laetril, typically using other fruits and vegetables, which many people with cancer have a lot of fungus in their body, and that's because their immune system is totally shattered, totally broken down. And by the way, if you have cancer and you take chemo and radiation, it destroys your immune system, so your body has no ability to fight cancer. That bloodletting technique of the American Medical Association for so-called cure of cancer is actually killing the patient. It actually kills the patient, and the hope, so to speak, is that the cancer cells die first and then they can bring you back to life and somehow you'll live through this process. Anyway, a very Middle Ages bloodletting technique. By the way, chemo is very inexpensive and radiation is very inexpensive, so why the incredible cost of chemo radiation therapy? It's a cash cow for the medical industry, and it's a 1950s form of bloodletting, nothing more, nothing less. And so at any rate, I just wanted to clarify some of those issues regarding Laetril. Just a quick update on the sun. The sun has just been doing nothing again lately. Flatline is called. The sun is very low energy. And once again, the big news is the cold weather persists. All records have been broken for this winter. All past records to date now have been broken across the United States. In all states regarding cold, severe weather, snow, etc. So at any rate, remember, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. That's seven letters, JMCC. S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. The water filters, the pre-filter, the new book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. Also buy the Calculate Primes book if you don't already have it. And tell your friends who are concerned about the NSA that now the James McCanney Science Hour has given you a way to snoop on the NSA. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.